life of the Messiah. And believe it or not, we're still in the Olivet Discourse, and we're in the end times as Jesus gives us the kind of synopsis of the tribulation. Okay, we did the fall of Jerusalem last week, I believe, right? Okay. Yeah, we finished the fall of Jerusalem, I think. And so we're going to start the tribulation in the Olivet Discourse. But before we start the tribulation, we have to go back to the time before the tribulation, which codifies the signs of the end of the age. And I just want to bring for remembrance on page 144 what the sign of the end of the age will be, as that's one of the questions the disciples asked. What will be the sign of the end of the age? And we studied this, I think, in the spring. So before we get into tribulation, I want you to revisit this just a little bit. On page 144, Matthew 24, 7 through 8, this is an extremely key verse. It says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginnings of sorrows," or it could be translated, "birth pains." Now, before we get into the tribulation, he says that this will be the sign before the tribulation of the end of the age, the end of the church age, or the age of the disciples that we're in until now. Okay, and just as a refresher, when you see that term, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, that is a rabbinic term, which means world war. And so, what Jesus was saying is that the sign that the end of the age has occurred is when you see world war. Not local skirmishes, like he said prior to it. He goes, you'll hear wars and rumors of wars, but that's not it. He basically says that before that. And he talks about false Christs, and he goes, don't believe them. But then he goes into this term. That term is a rabbinic term. So hence, like I've mentioned before, if that's the case, and that's what that means, and I believe it is, then the sign has already been given for the end of the age. And the sign was World War I. And World War II is basically the continuation of that World War. That's truly the first time in history that ever happened. We had local skirmishes or regional skirmishes, but that's the first time it happened. So you go back to World War I. Okay, so then that's why we say biblically that we are living in the last days. We can accurately say that from a biblical standpoint, not based on how we feel or based on a poll or what people think. It's based on the sign that has been given. Now, how long does it last? I don't know. I see the ramp up happening, but it's been given. And so if I mark it out to what, World War One, you're almost about 100 years that it's been going on. So I don't know if it'll go more than this. I don't know, but it seems like it's closing in from what I can tell. So that being the case, then let's jump over back to page 146, and then we enter into the tribulation. And this is Matthew 24, 9 through 28. And so this is where we're at in life of the Messiah, as he's having this private discourse with them. Okay, this is the first half of the tribulation, which you're about to read in Matthew 24, 9 through 28, okay? And then verse 9, he says this, "And then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you." That is a reference to the fifth seal judgment. So if you want to write out to the side, fifth seal judgment, that's when you see in Revelation the death of the martyrs happening. So what you're seeing with the Olivet Discourse is it's a small synopsis of the book of Revelation. "And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Okay, so context, context, context. Who is you if we're in the tribulation? Jews. Jews. "You will be hated by all nations." So here's my question. Are we already there as far as people hating the Jews? Yes. So that attitude continues on into the tribulation. And this is talking about the first half. "You will be hated of all nations." So this anti-Semitism goes all the way into the tribulation. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. That's talking about internally in Israel. What is it saying? Who's betraying who? Jew betraying Jew. So what do you think they're betraying each other over, though? What's that? Being a Christian and the Antichrist. Because Daniel says that the many will enter into a covenant in Daniel chapter 9. Not all of Israel, but many of Israel will enter into that covenant. The dividing line between Israel is already happening between conservative and liberal. And eventually it's that liberal side of Israel that will accept Antichrist. So the division will happen between the two, between the remnant, believers in Christ, and those who follow the Antichrist. So who's betraying? The ones who are following the Antichrist betray their own brethren, the Jews, to the Antichrist. It's just, that's the most bizarre thing. How could you be against your own ethnicity? Your own history and the ignoring, you know, the archaeology and all that. And it's like, oh my goodness. So you're right. The dividing line's happening in Israel right now before your very eyes. The dividing line. And you think about it in Israel. Most Israelis are so secular, they hate Benjamin Netanyahu. You being conservative, Christian, you get it? You like him, right? I like him. But in Israel, there's all these liberals on different parties, and they hate him. Just like the liberals here hate him as well. And it's already happening, the split. So eventually they're going to betray each other to the Antichrist. Good night. There was a book written, and I can't even remember the book. It was a secular book written about this, and Rush Limbaugh, of all people, recommended the book, and I can't remember the book he recommended. There was a study done on why do the Jews go liberal. Can't figure that out, because based on their Torah and their Jewish laws, they can't for the life of them figure out like why a Hollywood Jew goes liberal. And then I guess what the book found out and concluded at the end of it is it all comes down to ideology. That the Jews here that are liberalized or anywhere in the world accept an ideology that's counter to the Bible. And I guess it's just because they simply refuse to believe what the Word of God says and choose to believe what liberal Western thought is. And that's at the end of the day that they're willing to go counter to their culture because of that. Believe it or not, there's other segment of Jews, they're similar to that, but they don't believe they have the right to the land because Messiah is not here. And I don't know if you've heard that thought either. They're very, it's in the Hasidic wing, I think, very, very conservative, but they even believe that they don't belong in the land because Messiah is not here. And they say you can only come back in the land when Messiah is here. So they say these Jews are going back to Israel are in disobedience to Messiah. So it's just kind of a weird cultic type of mentality. So there's split, obviously. There's problems, obviously, with going on in Israel. And then he goes, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. That's during the tribulation, okay? So it's going to be all-time ramp up on this. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And I think we already start seeing this, but this is the culmination of all of it. The lawlessness is referring to, obviously, the Antichrist's lawlessness. But what is lawlessness? Is it just anarchy? No. Lawlessness means that whatever God says, Satan says the opposite. God says this is good, he says this is bad. God says this is bad, he says this is good. That's happening right now. The spirit of lawlessness is already at work. We say gay marriage is wrong, they say it's good. Right? That's lawlessness. They have laws, but it's just the opposite. Okay, but notice what the result is of the lawlessness. What is it? What happens to love? It causes love to grow cold. So when someone turns to immorality, they can't love properly anymore. So in this term, what he's trying to get through is the natural affections that people would have, like a mother towards her daughter or son, an uncle, a cousin, the natural familial affections among the Jews, even among them, will stop because of the lawlessness. So you want to wonder sometimes, why do they not love correctly? It's because they're lawless. They're lawless. So you talk about these people that are going crazy, the liberal left, crazy nut jobs. They can't effectively love correctly. They say they love, but they really don't. They don't know how to love properly. And so, for instance, a gay couple adopts a child. Do you think they can love that child properly, even though they say they can? No. The stats even bear it out. That child is at a risk for suicide, is at a risk for mental illness, being raised by two gay dads or lesbian moms or whatever it is. It shows you that you can't love properly when you practice lawlessness. And right now it's happening all over the planet. And it's going to culminate in the tribulation. So let's stop there. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week.